Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace,
A Touch of Grace.
Literary Magic.
A Touch of Grace. A Touch of Grace.
On Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 listeners. This is author and producer and host of A Touch of Grace. Welcome to the third season of A Touch of Grace. I am your host, producer, and five-time self-published author, G.D. Grace. I'm excited about this summer 2012 season because, by the grace of God, I'm still here. So for those listening on the computers, the chat room is open. Today's date is May 19th, 2012, and I'm broadcasting live from the San Francisco Bay Area in Northern California. Now check this out. In 6 days, I'll be turning 50 years old, and I cannot believe that. But one thing that I can believe is that there are quite a few gifted artists in the world, and one of them is my very special guest today. This is an excerpt from his Life, Love, and Whatever. I am my children's armor. My baby girls are my motivation. I see my life through their eyes. He signs his quotes or his post on Facebook as Inkheart, and his name is Warren K. Rencher. Welcome to A Touch of Grace, my brother. How you doing this afternoon?
Hello, GD. How you doing? I'm doing well.
Very good. Very good. So what's your temperament like? Are you happy? Are you excited? Are you ecstatic? What are you feeling like today?
But right now, I'm glad I'm excited about this opportunity. It's been a long time coming. I know we discussed this last year and the preparation for it. And right now, just for the opportunity that you've given me, I'm very thankful for and very appreciative.
Okay. Very cool. Well, you know, I wanted to dedicate this show to one of my favorite singers, Donna Summer. She passed away a couple of days ago. So I'm just going to go ahead and send this dedication out to the fans and the family of that wonderful lady. And I'll go ahead and start the show off. And the question, one simple question is, who is Warren Inkheart Rencher?
Okay. Well, first of all, I am a self-motivated dreamer. I'm the most daring writer of fantasy and spiritualism. I'm self-published. I have my own style of delivery. I don't write like anybody else. I take things that people avoid, people, they sweep under the rug, and I bring it to the forefront. And I discuss in a way that basically tries to incorporate some form of solutions from fantasies to spiritual thoughts and spiritual lifestyles that we all sometimes struggle with.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking at your, flipping through your books this morning, and There's a spiritual pulse, an encouraging pulse that runs through your words. So the question that I ask is, what is your ultimate purpose? What are you trying to convey to someone reading your literature?
Wow. I'm so glad you asked that question. That's a question that a lot of people ask me, being that I pretty much popped out of nowhere. And basically, my ultimate purpose is to encourage, to invigorate, to enlighten, and to cause people to question themselves in honest ways. I want to give the freedom of expression a new life birth in those who never thought it was possible. If only to bridge the gap between spirituality and sexuality, this would be a huge start for me. A lot of people, they take spiritualism and sexuality, and they separate the two, which in my mind and to me in nature should not be the case. Also, I've heard so many stories of sadness, hopelessness, pain, and lack of whatever, and whatever it is in an individual. And many questions that I ask is, one is, how many of us have imagined doing something that's possible, which others define as impossible? How many of you have used excuses given to us by our circumstances? Yes, our circumstances, as a reason why you can't be a better you. I find myself being reminded of my spiritual foundation, and often the lessons taught to me as a child, and even now as an adult. I guess the old saying goes, you're never too old to learn. Many people also, I realize, they don't have a solid footing anywhere in life. So what I do, I take my lessons, my insight, and my observations to bring more emotional and physical advancement to the forefront. One thing that I also observe is that people treat sexuality like it's a plague at times, which honestly is a gift from God. Also, many people don't read the Holy Bible, and those who do, many don't fully understand how to utilize His promises. So therefore, my daily goal is to use my literary platform for the greater good on a personal and public intent. Now, if anything else, I want to let people know somebody understands that it is okay, that sometimes, you know, you will go through tough times. And a lot of times we are often ashamed to talk about it to people because we feel like people are going to criticize us. They're going to put us in a box. And for me, I tell people by default, I'm a carpenter. So you put me in a box, I will tear down and rebuild another one.
Okay, Carpenter, now you gave the listeners and quite an earful, but, you know, anyone listening should be able to pick parts that are near and dear and identifiable mm-hmm. to them and grow from that. And that's one
correct.
Thing that is just great about being in the literary business is to be, and that's not even the business, but to be an artist out there, because you're hoping that you inspire someone. Now, the piece that really struck out for me is spirituality and sexuality, because spirituality and sexuality, they do go hand in hand, you know, and there are people who actually treat it like the plague, and, you know, you can't have one without the other for there to be a union between a couple, and especially with this whole, you know, Obama and the gay marriage thing going out there, you know, people's ideas of love, you know, we're all entitled to be able to love unconditionally the person that is chosen for us, you know, as we walk this path in life, but not getting too far off into that. I do know that you are a family man. So what has that experience been like for you as a family man?
Well, for me, I would say it goes back beyond being a family man. It's more so my upbringing. For me, my children, I see my life through their eyes. Family is everything for me. And quite frankly, this may be contrary to popular belief, but for me, I don't care about money. I don't care about material things. I don't care about any of those things that people place value on. For me, when you take all that away, it's what do you have? And, you know, it goes back to your family. It's how you spend your time. It's what you value the most. You know, if you lose everything that you have, what do you have? And so for me and the family aspect of my life and the importance is based back on my spiritual upbringing. We were taught that, you know, the old saying goes, you know, it takes a tribe, you know, to raise a child. And that's the mentality that I have, even from me dealing with my daughters, even me dealing with my mentoring group, even giving back to whoever needs it. So family for me, if I don't have that, man, I don't have anything.
Well, you know, that is the honest truth. There were some things that I went through and endured, and when you get right down to it, monetary and material things don't mean a thing if there's nobody there. A quote from one of my movies, success is nothing unless you have someone to share it with, you know?
That's right,
How many daughters do you have, Keith?
I have two daughters, Desiree and Olivia Rencher, ages 11 and 7.
11 and, ooh, 7 and 11, huh?
7 and 11. And I'm going to plug this in. The one thing, they are writers, too.
Oh, they're writers, too?
They're writers, too. They have their own book publishing company called Sister to Sister Literary Productions.
Sister to Sister. Yep. All right, so is that something that that they saw or observed you doing, and then they did? Because 7 and 11, I have to tell you, I remember me at 7 and 11, and I guess I was kind of creative there. So did they come to you with that, or did you pick up on the fact that they had a gift?
Well, one thing I thought about as I was writing my book one day, and a lot of time my cheers, they'll be around me as I was writing my book, editing or designing my covers. You know, cheers tend to mimic what they see. And so, and one thing I thought came to mind is that who better yet than a child to know what a child likes to read? So, and also, that will carry on into their schoolwork, which it really did. For example, my youngest daughter, for her, I started to, you know, kind of ask her, kind of create daddy a story. And because one of the things I do in church, I tell children stories, which is called Children's Corner. And so for years, I guess they saw me do it, and it's kind of one of the things, you've been around it long enough, you tend to pick it up.
That's true. And you know what I like, what you said, and it's really important. Children do mimic what mm-hmm. they see. You know, so
that's correct.
Yeah, so if a child sees a parent that's mm-hmm. working hard or that is creative, mm-hmm. they pick up on that. And without getting too far away from what we're discussing, I think it's an important mm-hmm. point that you made in that. And I want to say it again, children mimic what they see. So if they see their parent or their adult role model figure putting positivity out there into the world, most often mm-hmm. than not, if they wind up straying away, they eventually come back to the core.
Exactly.
All right. So what makes your writing style, this is back on you, the author, what makes your writing style different?
Wow. Okay. What makes my writing style different? This is a question that many people ask me. I guess the first thing comes to mind that it really conjures up a band of answers. I'm direct. I'll say what I think, and I will say what most people won't. I will deliver my thoughts in an unusual fashion. I can take the same thought that you have. I can repeat it back to you, and you won't even know that you said it. One example of my writers is, my flaws tell me to shut up. Who cares about criticism? All I know is that I'm not the only person who deals with life. People pretend like things are perfect, when they're not. I have more respect for a man who admits that he is a thief than a thief who claims that he's innocent. Guess what? That one makes us the perfect candidate for God's help. I take what people ignore and treat it as normalcy. And then I insert life into it. I take the private health that people deal with, and I discuss them with a solution in mind. Well, the avoided topics also, and the most daring topics, I talk about constantly by me. I don't have any boundaries as far as what I will say. I will be respectful, though. Like, for example, on Facebook, I used to have a forum called Free Speech Fridays, which we discuss topics that range from why do women fake orgasms, does size really matters? Yeah, they got real interested. Does size really matters? Also, to mama, where is my daddy? So you see, my boundaries are not limited by public opinion, tradition, and acceptance. I would say what makes my writing style the most different and unique than any style that has ever been done is that I can take the most daring thoughts that anybody has, the most forbidding fantasies that you don't tell nobody about, and I will discuss them in my own style, and by the time I'm done, they'll feel normal.
Okay. You know what? The one thing that the one thing that I really dig about you mm-hmm. is your honesty, you know, because mm-hmm. I know that, you know, growing up, you know, sex was never really discussed in our household. It just never, ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the, I found out through trial and error about mm-hmm. these things. So I think that healthy conversations with children growing up, you know, once mm-hmm. they get to a certain age, because you have to kind of tailor it to the age that they are. But most certainly, you definitely want to open up the line of communication, because first of all, children mm-hmm. are going to experiment at some point in time, and with all the diseases, HIV and AIDS and all of these
mm-hmm.
other things that are
mm-hmm.
out there, it's mm-hmm. better to prepare them
correct,
for
correct.
What they're going to face out there. I know that I have been blessed in my life, even though I don't have children of my own. I have nieces and nephews. I have extended children outside of my family. And I always managed to get that plug in there. There's a couple of them that are going away to college this year. And I told them, I said, okay, now, I said, when you're out there and you are talking about being intimate, you're getting ready to get into an adult world. And in an adult world, you really have to kind of be careful. So I like that. I like that you are creating forums to where that line of communication can be open, because, like you said earlier, to me, spirituality and sexuality, there's no difference. They're kind of all combined. And I believe the sexuality is a gift from God. So when you were talking about your writing style and that you're not afraid to to say anything, I just got to put you on the spot. You posted a summer suggestion for women regarding feet care on Facebook. Now, what was that all about, my brother?
All right. What that was all about, basically, I see a lot of things around me, and sometimes people don't comment on it. What they comment was when I was talking about basically, you know, ladies, if you can't afford to go get your feet done, you can go to the local CVS and go ahead and buy you a feet scrubber and get your feet done. Because truthfully, come on now. What man wants to feel a woman's feet like an SOS pad on his leg? That ain't sexy. Now, something like that, it comes to mind, and whereas most people, they have, well, okay, I don't want to hurt their feelings. But sometimes, you know what, the truth has to be told. And it can be done in a way that it's not offensive, but offer a suggestion. As for example, I would talk about things to really, you know, from bad breath to making love to the art of touching. And one thing I wanted to say real quick about how spirituality and sexuality is connected. You know, you can take something as simple as planting a seed into the ground. Now, if you take that seed and plant it into the ground and you let rain nourish that thing, now what happens is that seed eventually cracks that surface and roots grow and it connects to the soil. And at the same time, you have to prune that thing. You have to pull the weeds away. Now, with that, though, it grows and it connects to that soil and it bonds. That's the same thing relationship. That's the same thing as making love, man. Now, if you take your hand, you spit that thing, after it rains, what happens? Moisture gets around your hands.
That's
the same thing as making love. Now, if I take an old plant and put it to a new soil, now, within a month I put it up, what's going to happen? You're going to put it straight up. Give it 2 months. Now, you prune a little bit, move a little weeds here and there. You know, you make sure much sunshine get into it. Now, give it about 6 months, and then pull it up. You're going to pull up that plant and a handful of earth. Now, here's why that happens. Because you've taken time to allow that to naturally bond. That's natural. Then it has been nourished naturally by God, too. That's the same thing as a successful relationship. Even with, I told one lady, I said, you know, you can be married to a man for 17 years. Give me 1 month, I'll be closer to you than your man. I would say one line for 1 month. She thought I was lying. So I suggested to her, I said, I could say every day, I believe in you. You can do it. I said, I never asked your name, but if I tell you that every day for a month, I guarantee you, you will feel closer to me than your husband has in 17 years.
That's pretty cool. I like that, Warren. I really do. I'm just glad that you're a guest here on the show today, because it's really all about encouragement, you know. You know, out here blogging, and I see posts, and I see some of the things that people write, just, you know, everyday folk, but then I also kind of look at the entertainers and what they do. But there is a special encouragement yields so much more positivity. Something that, and it's something that the world really, really needs. So now, I'm looking here at this book, this red book. How many books do you have? Because this one is Life, Love, and Whatever. How many other books do you have out there?
I have two other books out there. This Life, Love, Whatever was a book that I released in December of 2010. I released my second book entitled My Secret Conscience. That was released, and I want to say February of 2011. Then I released a third book entitled The Birth of Inkheart, which is my pen name. in maybe around April of 2011 as well. Now, as far as books coming this year, I have 5 books coming this year. I have been privately busy. I have books that's coming and that will include other writers as well. I have other writers that the Lord has blessed me to link up with, which leads to, I guess, what I have called Ink Nation. Now, Ink Nation is maybe, I'll say, it's my most exciting venture that I've done yet. It's a unity of expressionist that is not linked on the writers. It's however you express yourself. Because if you are an artist, because I'm an artist as well, if you are an artist, if you do tattoos, however you express yourself, you are a part of Ink Nation. And it's growing very fast. And I'll say right now there may be about 6 writers who have networked and linked up with me. I won't call all of the names, but, you know, they range from, I'll say, Divine Ink to Angela Ink to Princess Ink, Princess O, which is my daughter. And there are a lot of others. So right now, I'll say Ink Nation, I'm going to say it's going to be very big soon as people start coming out and finding their own voice.
You know, that's wonderful. I was looking at, like, the back page of your book, and there's one, you had mentioned just one man's opinion, and it's a series called My Father's Seed, and then I'm looking at this picture. Yeah. I got the book. You sent it to me, so yeah, I got it. And it's going to be here in my office at work.
Okay.
So that when people come in, they'll get to know who you are. And I work around a lot of intellectual people now in the job that I have. But this cover or this picture with the two little boys, and one's got the arm draped over his shoulder, it speaks volumes. So I know that you, from your accent, I know that you are a Southerner. Okay.
Yeah.
And so do you speak publicly, or do you go and inspire, or is most of your work, because especially if having a couple of kids, do you go to the school? I mean,
I do.
Oh, okay.
I do. What I have been able to do, I've been blessed with a few opportunities to speak to middle schools. I have spoken to book clubs. I have spoken to, I'll say, hundreds of individuals. Last year, I will say it was very blessed. Last year, by not being public at all, I distributed about maybe 600 books, and I got a chance to meet a lot of people. And I would say, hearing all these stories and talking to people, every person I talk to, I consider being practice, because my ultimate goal, I want to be an international motivational speaker in, say, about 2 to 3 years. So every opportunity I get to speak to someone, man, I embrace it wholeheartedly.
Well, you know what I want to say is that the dream that you have, that you are chasing, I could tell with the sincerity that you just spoke that you will be an international speaker. And most certainly, you will bring a lot of things to the forefront, because I do believe that this era is changing quite a bit, that people are more open in their talks about spirituality and sexuality. And we are part of a very exciting time as far as evolution goes, with especially within the Black community. So the question that I have for the listeners, where can your books be purchased?
Okay, well, there are a few ways you can get it. I'm on Facebook as Warren Inkhart Grincher. I have also, my web address is wwrenchergr@yahoo.com. You can email me there, and I do distribute all of my own books. I will be on Amazon and Kindle soon, but my goal for last year was to produce my own books and to get a certain number of myself just to see could it be done. And from that, I have a lot of faith in people. So, yes, if you want to get my books, or you can call or text me at area code 205-903-4995 or email me at wwwenchergr@yahoo.com or look me up on Facebook as Keith Incar Grincher.
Okay, so here's a question for the listeners of the show that are listening live, but they're but this is also going to be for those that drop by and listen to the recorded show, because all the shows here on A Touch of Grace are recorded. What important thought, one thought, would you like to leave listeners or someone listening with? What it could be encouraging, it could be spiritual. What would you like to leave them with from the mouth and the heart and mind of Warren Inkhart Wrencher?
Sure. Instead of giving some elaborate thought that I have, I'm going to leave you with an acronym for LOVE. LOVE stands for Letting Others Vent Emotionally. Letting others vent emotionally. Now, with that being said, that encompasses so much. That means that you take off the boundaries, the chains on your heart. You're not afraid to look for your soulmate. You're not afraid to believe in love again. No matter what you've gone through, today's a new day. So again, love. That's in others, vent emotionally.
God, that touched me, Warren. That really did. That really touched me. Letting others vent emotionally. It's almost like giving people permission to open up their hearts. Because to be quite honest, if anybody encounters someone that is not able to, first of all, if they don't love themselves, then you damn near need to kind of run in the opposite direction, because the worst thing you could do is be involved with someone that harbors things inside, you know. So they're very, very profound. And so I'd like to thank Inkhart for being a guest on A Touch of Grace today. And I'd like to send shout-outs to all of my fellow artists and to the fans of A Touch of Grace. This show doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the fantastic guests I interview, as well as to you, the listeners. Also, look for my post on Facebook, WordPress, and Twitter, because I'll be posting details about upcoming interviews for this summer 2012 season. And so, in closing, what I'd like to say is, be well, treat everyone you meet like you want to be treated, and cherish those you love. So this is GD saying, until next time, positivity and joy. And Warren, is there one final word that you want to leave the listeners before we part ways this day?
Sure. You're never by yourself. God always has your back. And always, no matter what, never lose faith in yourself.
Well, you have been an inspiring and encouraging guest, and I know that we're going to stay in touch. And as your books come out, again, we could even do a show that talks more about some of the outreach that you're doing and get a little bit more into Ink Nation and what that's all about. But I really appreciate you, and I always encourage you, man, always.
Man, same to you, man. I appreciate the opportunity. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Don't ever stop, no matter what.
All right. And God bless you and your family, and you be safe out there, all right?
You too, my brother.
All right. Take care.
You too.